Paranormal Perception is brought to you by Orange County's first ever paranormal conference, Orange County Paracon. You can meet and hear from Paranormal Perception guests in person on October 1st and 2nd. Go to ocparacon.com for info and tickets.
Paranormal Perception is a full-bodied apparition summoned by 22 Creations Multimedia LLC.
You've found it. Your guide through the unknown. Ghosts.
Artificial intelligence.
Cryptozoology.
Disclosure.
Parapsychology.
A world of shadows.
It is called the unknown for a reason.
This is your guide through the new normal for the new decade. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. Close your eyes. Open your ears and your mind. This is your new perception on the paranormal. Paranormal Perception. Here's your host, Henry San Miguel.
Here I am. Welcome to Paranormal Perception. Today I'm going to introduce you to somebody who has been doing what I do, but they've been doing it since she was very, very, well, a lot like me, actually, since she was very young. And, well, you'll meet her in just a second. Before we do that, though, you just heard the little announcement there. I'm going to make one final push. Like I said, we have, believe it or not, we're there. We're like 2.5 months away from OC Paracom, the Orange County's first ever paranormal conference. I've been talking to a lot of people. I mean, you heard last week I had Patty Negri on. We've actually talked about this even before I organized it and decided to put it together. Her and her team and other people in the paranormal community, they've been here pretty much here in Southern California pretty much their entire life, the entire paranormal career, and they agree. There's never been a paraconference. There's Midsummer Scream. There's conventions, horror conventions, horror film festivals, but never a paranormal conference where you have guests like the ones you hear on Paranormal Perception that come up there. You meet them, you get to go and meet them, spend a few minutes talking to them at their table and buy their books if they're authors, hear from them during their presentation. There's never been anything like that. And honestly, I know I'm doing it now, but I'm still shocked that we are going to be the first one that's ever done that. It's amazing, really, that in a city this big, Los Angeles, the second biggest city in the country, there's never been a paranormal conference that's happened here until now. So October 1st and 2nd, perfect way to kick off our favorite time of the year, of course, leading up to Halloween. Everything on OCParacon.com, but I will tell you, there's a few things, especially after last week, when Patty came on and we didn't get into detail, but we did mention her seances she's done. And we actually have one, where was it? Virginia City last year. We recorded it. We put it on film and it's up there and it's getting a ton of downloads, ton of views, but also getting a lot of comments, a lot of questions. That's what part of the reason why I had Patty come on last week and talk to all of you that are just finding your ability. So you can get some guidance from her. But if you've never, you may have seen one on TV, or on a show, I think she's done a few on Ghost Adventures, but you may have seen her doing it maybe on a YouTube channel, maybe even the one that I'm talking about, the one that we recorded last year. But if you've never sat in person on a Patty Negri seance, it is an experience, that for sure. And I will say, I always tell people before they go in, you've got to go in there open-minded. Because not that you're a skeptic, but because, I mean, I can almost say guarantee, I'm not going to go that far as to guarantee, but there's a pretty good chance, we'll put it that way, there's a pretty good chance that one of your loved ones, a friend, someone that's passed away, will come by and say hello to you, give you a message. And you'll know it's them because, and I've seen it many, many times. In fact, on our video, you'll see it. It's amazing. It's the only way I can describe it. It's just amazing how, you know, and I'm not going to mention names, but I've met many, many psychics over the year, even before I started doing Paranormal Perception or any radio shows. When I was doing music radio around Halloween, of course, because that's when we start thinking about the spooky and all that. The stations I used to work at, they would bring in psychics, mediums, palm, you know, the usual. But a lot of them, honestly, they weren't the real deal because they were, I call them dart throwers, where they start throwing darts. I see someone with, I think it's red hair, no, brown hair, blue hair, until the person that's in front of them says, yes, yes. And they're like, oh, yes, yes, that's what I see. Like and if you, I mean, if you believe that, okay, that's you. But most of us listen, most of you listen to the Paranormal Perception, you're, but when you hear that, you're going to start looking at them sideways. Really? Psychic? Okay. But that's not Patty. Patty continuously blows not only my mind, but everyone that goes to the seances, they blows their mind with information that only close family members would know. And none of them know Patty. They didn't tell Patty any information. She gets everything like, boom, on target. So I know it's for real. So you can do that either Friday or Saturday, be part of a Patty Negri seance. OC Ghost Walks, Haunted OC. It is Orange County there. I think they're going to do it in Fullerton. We haven't actually come up with the details. But Haunted OC, they're an award-winning ghost walk company. They've been around for over a decade now. They're going to be offering us two special walks for OC Paracon attendees. That's Friday and Saturday evenings also. You can go to the website and pick whichever day you want. And also, the All Access badge honestly gives you access, obviously, to everything, including the Patty Negri seance. You also get to go on one of the ghost walks. And it also gives you a chance to sit down with Vernon the Hobble, and he'll give you a palm reading. Now, I'm not going to give you the details, but he did one for me earlier this year. And similar to what Patty, how Patty blows my mind, he got everything like down to a T, and I never told him anything about me. So it's for real. So all of that and more, panels on Friday and on Saturday, all of that happening on Friday and Saturday, October 1st and 2nd. Great way to kick off our favorite time of the year, Paranormal Perception, us putting together OC Paracon. All the info again at ocparacon.com. Now, like I said, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who, not as long as I have, I've been doing, not podcasting, but radio. I've been a radio broadcaster for over more than 35 years. That's for sure. I'm not sure. I lost count. I honestly stopped counting after 20. After that, it's just, okay, that's what I do. So it's over 35 years, over 33 years for sure. That's for sure. But, this person that I'm about to introduce you to, she hasn't done it that long, but she could if she wants to, and looks like she will. It's already been a decade, kind of like me and the other show, the Geek Speak Show. It's been a decade that she's been talking about the paranormal, and she'll do that on Paranormal Perception. Don't go anywhere. Paranormal Perception will return in a moment. Paranormal Perception invites you to Orange County's first ever paranormal conference, Orange County Paracon. Happening on the weekend of October 1st and 2nd, it's the perfect way to kick off our favorite time of the year. You'll meet and hear from Paranormal Perception guests like Dr. Jeff Dwyer, Patty Negri, and more. Sit in on panels covering the art of palmistry, and you'll be introduced to a team of Native American paranormal investigators. You can come up on stage and share your real paranormal experiences on Friday evening. Plus, a surprise panel on Saturday to close out the Paracon. Get more info and tickets at ocparacon.com. There are a few exhibitor tables left, so if you'd like a spot at OC Paracon, buy your table soon at ocparacon.com. We'll see you on the first weekend in October for Orange County Paracon. We now return you to your unscheduled awakening. This is Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel. I thought that'd be perfect as we all sizzle in the cruel summer heat. Welcome back to Paranormal Perception. So like I said, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who, very similar to me, has been talking on a microphone since she was very, very young. I have also, although I, until recently, until you guys know, because you've been there from the beginning, I never really spoke about my paranormal experiences or anything paranormal for that matter. I played music, and then when I made the switch into talk radio, it was the usual. It was talking about politics or sports or religion even. That's the closest I ever got to paranormal. The only time we would talk paranormal is the obvious Halloween, but even then it wasn't serious. It was just, ooh, ghost, I'm scared, or you know, the usual stuff you hear around Halloween on radio stations. But this guest, her name is Sophia Temporelli. She is, most of you know her as the ghost host over on liveparanormal.com. If you haven't heard her shows, I have a link to that on the show description. You guys can check it out, and you'll want to after you hear her story. So she's been talking about that, and I'm not going to try to tell you her entire story because that's why she's here. So, Sophia, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, like I said, I really wanted to hear, and I really wanted them, the listeners, to hear your story. It's very similar to mine, where I started when I was really, really young. So before we start get into the radio and the show and everything that you do, let's start with the obvious, the name of this show, Paranormal Perception. How did your interest, how did your journey into finding out more about the paranormal, how did that start?
Well, I've been in the paranormal since I was 8 years old, so for 14 years now, because I'm 22. My parents have always just had a fascination for the paranormal. When they were dating, their favorite shows were The X-Files and Sightings on Fox. And so fast forward, you know, they got married, and for the 10-year wedding anniversary, they thought, let's do something different because they're different. So they decided to look for ghost tours, and they found one on the Queen Mary, which was very close to our house. And it was run by a psychic named Peter James, who was the psychic on Sightings. My parents loved him on the show, so they said, okay, we have to go to this. So they went, and for some reason, I just got really jealous. I was like, I want to go. And I told them that, which is strange because, you know, 8-year-olds just think of ghosts as like Scooby-Doo or Halloween. So I told them I wanted to go, and they said, okay. Because they've always included me in everything. So they wrote Peter and said, hey, our 8-year-old daughter wants to go on the tour. Do you feel that this is safe for her to do? And he said, yes, all the ghosts on the ship are my friends. Bring her on the tour and I'll have her call out to Jackie. So I went on what would be his final tour. And I just fell in love with the paranormal, and I've been in it ever since. And since then, I've had experiences in my own haunted house and started a radio show.
Yeah, I mean, we might get into that, your experiences in your haunted house, but let me ask you this. On the show, on Paranormal Perception, I've made this distinction from the very beginning, especially after 2020, the way that went. I've always said the paranormal, to me at least, it's not a one-size-fits-all title. Not like when people say, I want a Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand, but we know you mean tissue.
Yeah.
So when I say paranormal, I just mean things that are weird, not normal, out of the ordinary. When I say ghost, the other side, I call it supernatural. When you say paranormal, does that mean ghost to you, or what do you mean when you say paranormal?
When I say paranormal, for me, as an individual, it usually means ghosts, but I feel that it's an all-encompassing term that includes aliens, Bigfoot, you know, cryptozoology, just anything that's unexplainable like that. So just because where my, I guess you could say, I'm not an expert, but my expertise is, would be ghosts. So that's normally what comes to my mind first. I definitely don't know as much about UFOs or Bigfoot, but I think that the paranormal encompasses all of that. Usually when I'm talking about it, I mean ghosts, but it also could just mean, you know, the paranormal in general.
Yeah, Bigfoot, you know, Loch Ness.
Yeah,
things like that. Yeah, I get that also. And when you said that, I'm sure I can almost hear them asking. So let me ask for them. You don't have like psychic or medium abilities, do you?
I'm not a psychic. I would say I'm a sensitive. I can definitely pick things up. I like to compare it to those commercials that you would see. I think it was for Geico. That's like, I'm not a dentist, I'm a dental monitor. I can kind of tell you if something's there, but I'm super useless beyond that. Like, I can't tell you what it is or who it is, but I can normally tell if something a spirit is there, and if it's good or bad, I don't know why that's a thing. And usually if I do see a ghost, it's like a shadow person. But I have seen like an actual ghost at my old house. So I would say I'm sensitive. I can tell if something's there. And sometimes I guess you could say I could pick up on how someone died, but that's very rare.
I think I had Patty Negrin, you know, Patty, last week on the show, and she mentioned, she went through all the Claire abilities. I think one of them she mentioned was the, clairsentient, I think, is the closest that comes to where you feel things. That might be what you have. There's some other ones that kind of come close to the, because I'm exactly the same way. We talked about this yesterday. You and I had a personal conversation, and we talked about it. Even that is similar, where I don't have psychic abilities, although Patty does say I do. I don't see it, but yeah. She says I do. But I am very sensitive. I also have seen ghosts. Well, two times in my life, but I do feel when something or someone is there. And I also know when it's good or when it's bad, or when I shouldn't stay in the room. I should run out of the room. I feel that also. So yeah, I get that part. Now, when you had this interest and you started, you know, learning more about it through the people you met and everything, to today, 10 years doing the show, how if at all, how has your view of the paranormal, the other side, how if at all has it changed since then?
My view on the paranormal, I feel like not so much through my show, but just maturing as an individual has changed in the fact that I think I came up with a lot of different theories when I was younger. Some of them I still believe and some of them I don't. And it just came with time and experience in the field. When I was younger, apparently, I didn't remember saying this, but I had said on an interview, I thought shadow people were, you know, possibly just a ghost trying to use less energy to project themselves. Mm-hmm. But now, as an adult, I've never met a nice shadow person, so I don't really believe that anymore. So I would say just some things that I believed when I was younger have changed through just my experiences like that. And I feel like those have been validated through the show. Like my belief on what the afterlife could be hasn't changed since I came up with it when I was 12. And I've had that more validated through the show, where I've heard other guests also have the same thought and theory on that.
Is there anything that you've learned from guests that, and not specifically about ghosts, could be about UFOs, cryptids, anything else, but is there anything about any topic that you've learned from the guests that has shocked you to learn over the 10 years?
I mean, honestly, when it comes to guest stories, it's usually not the stuff they say on the paranormal that shocks me as much. It's usually the accidents they've had while investigating that shock me, like injuries or near injuries. So those are usually the first thing that comes to mind when guests are brought up. But as far as something someone's told me, I would say, you know, just learning about the other darker parts of the paranormal that I really don't try and dabble in, like hearing stories about the Hat Man and stuff, those have been really shocking to me, just to hear people's experiences with that and just all that there is out there in the paranormal that I haven't experienced and I don't maybe necessarily want to.
Yeah, which apparently we can't say the term Hat Man because it's trademarked to somebody else. Mike Ricksecker came on and we were talking about that. We were laughing at that, actually, because it's kind of ridiculous. I don't know how you see it, that the term shadow people is trademarked. We can't say it. We can't say Hat Man. It's like that term has been, those terms have been used for long before even this person who trademarked those words have been around. So I don't know. But yeah, I get that also. Now let's go back again to the very beginning. Has there been a change that you've noticed from the very beginning, as in to 8-year-old Sophia to now 22-year-old Sophia? Have you noticed a change in the guests and the listeners, how they see you now, or do they still see you as the 8-year-old Sophia who talks about ghosts?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see a difference. You know, a lot of times when guests would come on, They would be more friends with my parents. So I feel like I'm able to build more of a bond with them. I mean, you know, people are friends with like kids, but people typically don't want to be friends with a young, like 14-year-old girl, because it's a little weird sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've noticed, you know, I'm able to build more bonds and friendships in the field with my guests and just other investigators. And I think in the beginning of the show, a lot of people would say, oh, well, to my dad, who has always been the engineer and, you know, the introductory person, they would always say, oh, thank you, John, for having me on the show. It was so great talking to you and your daughter. But I've always been the host. I've always been the interviewer. So I think that has changed later on, too, which I understand why people felt that way. My dad is a co-author and editor of Heaven, Can You Hear Me? By the psychic Peter James. So when people initially met me in the field, it wasn't as the ghost host. It was as John Tamborelli's daughter. So I think for a long time, too, I was seen as that. But as I've gotten older, I think people are starting to see him as the ghost host dad, which is he's okay with. I just think it's funny because, you know, I'm his daughter. I have to mess with him.
He needs a T-shirt and mug that say that I'm the ghost host.
He does have a T-shirt, actually. This is the ghost host. So, you know, he's already in there.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got to rep it somehow. I mean, how else is he going to say, yes, I did have a kid?
Yeah, that's the best way. Point to the mug, point to the T-shirt. There you go. What made you want to talk about it on a microphone rather than obviously you shared it with your parents and maybe close family members and friends, but what made you want to go public and share your experiences, your paranormal stories on a microphone with the world?
Well, after my experiences in a haunted house, I just, you know, I was so young and I was stalked by a ghost, really. And these experiences are really traumatizing, specifically to, you know, a young child feeling so helpless that your home is where you should feel the safest. And when you don't feel that way anymore, there's no feeling like it. You just don't feel comfortable anywhere. And so I experienced this probably younger than I even can remember. But I do remember it starting between the ages of 9 until 11 when I moved out. And I just, you know, there wasn't any kids in the field at that time. And I get that, you know, it can be dangerous. But I just figured if there's me living in a haunted house at this age, there has to be other kids out there that have had these experiences in their own home. So I started my radio show because I wanted to meet people my own age that I could relate to. I didn't find that, but, you know, I was able to start my radio show and be able to talk to some amazing people in cryptozoology, you know, demonology, paranormal investigations. So I met people from a ton of different backgrounds, and that really has just been amazing, even though I didn't find what I initially started my radio show for.
After a decade, have you discovered that they actually were there? There were listeners that grew up with you, literally, when you first started?
It's so hard to say, because I feel like a lot of the listeners on my show are people who aren't necessarily in the field and maybe just have an interest, and they aren't necessarily people that want to reach out and talk about it. They just hear it from a distance, and I think they're okay with that. Because when we have psychics call in, a lot of people who are listening are, you know, calling for some sort of insight, but you can tell they're not the type of person that will necessarily write you and be like, hey, you know, I want to talk about my experiences. They just want to, you know, figure out what's going on for themselves and maybe join the field when they're ready.
Okay. And is there, I'm sure it was your dad's decision, but is there a reason why you went with live paranormal radio rather than just a podcast like what we're doing now?
Yeah. So when I asked for the show at 12, I was very persistent. And like I said, my dad had co-authored the book with Peter James, Heaven, Can You Hear Me? And the founder of LiveParanormal.com, Rob Sarek, had been asking my dad, start a radio show. And my dad's like, no, I'm not starting a radio show. Then I have to write questions, come up with guests. So he's like, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, hey, guys, I want a radio show. And they're like, oh, my God, you've never stuck with anything in your life. But, okay, yeah, they've always supported me, but I've never stuck with, like, baseball or tennis or anything. So they're just like, we'll support you with this, but I don't know how long this is going to last. Well, 10 years later, they're actually, you know, proud, but surprised. And so my dad wrote Rob Sarik, and he's like, look, I do not want a radio show, but my 12-year-old daughter does. And he said, yeah, sure, we'll have her on liveparanormal.com. And that's how that came about, was persistence and Rob already asking my dad.
Okay. And again, for everybody who hasn't heard one of Sophia's shows, I have a link to that in the show description. Just click on there. When do you, because you do it live, right?
Yeah, it's live every Saturday, you know, with the exception of holidays, from 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And when we have Travel Channel, I guess, there may be some variation in time, but it's always every Saturday.
Yeah, and then you have them also, you can literally watch Sophia do the show on her YouTube channel, which I also have linked up on the show description.
Yeah, it's also archived on iTunes podcast. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, and some other sites too also have them archived.
Yeah, so all of that. Like always, I make it easy for you guys. Just click on Sophia's name. It'll take you to where it's all archived. So we are talking to Sophia. Like I said, take a little break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you guys are probably wondering. Is there anything scary that's happened to you? Is there anything exciting? Well, we'll find that out in just a minute.
Wondering what they'll say next? In a few moments, you'll find out.
Paranormal Perception. We'll be right back.
Paranormal Perception invites you to Orange County's first ever paranormal conference, Orange County Paracon. Happening on the weekend of October 1st and 2nd, it's the perfect way to kick off our favorite time of the year. You'll meet and hear from Paranormal Perception guests like Dr. Jeff Dwyer, Patty Negri, and more. Sit in on panels covering the art of palmistry, and you'll be introduced to a team of Native American paranormal investigators. You can come up on stage and share your real paranormal experiences on Friday evening, plus a surprise panel on Saturday to close out the Paracon. Get more info and tickets at ocparacon.com. There are a few exhibitor tables left, so if you'd like a spot at OC Paracon, buy your table soon at ocparacon.com. We'll see you on the first weekend in October for Orange County Paracon.
Prescription drug pricing points to corporate
Freedom of the press is about your right to know. It's about your right to be informed. Today, there are real threats to press freedom and your right to know about the world around us. We must protect our right to know, no matter what kind of news is important to you. Before it's too late, understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please be seated? Our program is about to resume.
Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.
I don't know why you would be out of your seat, but I mean, if you're exercising, okay, I get it. But welcome back to Paranormal Perception, talking to Sophia temporarily, like I said. So let's get into what you guys are probably wondering. With all these guests you've talked to, all these events that you've done, all these things that over the years, and we'll probably get into your haunted house now. What are some things that you consider to be not terrifying, but definitely scary? I know you have an interest in the paranormal, but some things that you may have experienced you can consider as, whoa, that was like kind of scary. Have you had any kind of those experiences, Sophia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, living in a haunted house, being stalked by a ghost would top the list. I mean, yeah, living in the haunted house, I didn't feel comfortable anywhere I went. I was constantly being watched by a male spirit at, you know, the age of 9 to 11. I was freaked out. I did not feel safe in that house. And the real, like, just pinnacle of everything, the last night I slept in my room until we moved out was when the ghost had climbed my loft bed ladder and was watching me sleep from about 6 inches away. And when my parents found that out, they said, no, you know what, we're done, you're sleeping in our room on a couch, because we don't need him getting closer to you. The ghost was focused on females, and he was not a good guy. I don't exactly know who he was, but you could just feel that he was not a good spirit.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, did you ever look into the history, like who it could have been?
So that's a little bit complicated. The house was built in the 1940s. My dad was adopted, but his adoptive grandfather was from Rome, Italy, and he actually guarded the Pope. But that was before he moved to America, obviously. But my adoptive grandfather was a paranoid schizophrenic. So my dad lived in the house till he was 9 years old. Then when my grandfather died in the home, my parents moved in, and that's the house I grew up in. Now, that spirit was not my grandfather, but during the time that my grandfather was living there alone, he was a ward of the county, and back in the 80s and 90s, they took horrible care of their wards in LA County. My grandfather died alone with no heating, like no electricity, nothing. Hmm. And this was a mentally ill person, just with nothing. He had nothing. He was also a very brilliant man before, you know, his mental illness took him over.
Right.
So during that time that he was in the house, not only was he dealing with these personal demons that he had, there were homeless people, drug addicts, everything going in and out of the house. And there was nothing he could do about it, and no one was actually doing anything about it either. So, you know, during the period of time that he lived there, there's no records of what happened in there. And then there's just no way to tell what or who could have been in that house.
Okay. And in the decade doing the show, who are, and I know this is usually, I've been asked this question when I do interviews also, it's tough because you don't want to single anybody out, but we do have our favorites. Do you have favorite guests you've had over the 10 years on the show?
It's so hard to pick a favorite guest. Yeah. I mean, there's been so many amazing people. You know, it's always great to interview someone you're friends with. It's always great to interview someone that, you know, just so fascinating, and you love to hear their story. So it's so hard to pick, you know, one singular person.
Yeah. But if you really had to, do you have favorites?
I would say memory wise, when I was younger, I had the opportunity to have on Glozell Green, from YouTube on my show to talk about her investigation she did with Ariana Grande. That was amazing because she was my absolute all-time favorite YouTuber mm-hmm. during that specific time. JoJo Wright, you know, who we're friends with, he's just amazing person to talk to, very fun to interview. So I would say those two off the top of my head.
Okay. And also what happens with me, well, actually Paranormal Perception was born at a live event. I'm sure you've done a few. So what have been some of your favorite events that have come because of the show?
I mean, there's been so many, like we were talking about beforehand, a lot of them in the Southern California area haven't been around for 10 years, but those were really amazing to go to when they were around. I've been able to go investigate some amazing places like the Biltmore Hotel in LA, Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm.
The One Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, I had one of my like weirdest experiences there. So that was a lot of fun to be able to investigate and go to for an event.
Okay, wait. You can't say the weirdest experience and just leave it there. I mean, do you want to share what that was?
Yeah. So I was at the Glen Tavern Inn in Hollywood, California for an event, at Santa Paula, California, for an event. And I'm really fascinated with film, and in the Glen Tavern Inn, I'm not really sure why, but they have tons of old movie posters kind of lining the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this is cool. I'm going to go look at them. So I'm walking down the hallway on the first floor to the right-hand side, and my mom's walking with me. I think I'm 15 or 16 at the time, probably 15. And so we're walking down the hallway, and when I'm walking down the hallway, I'm looking at the movie posters. My throat just kind of starts getting a little bit tighter. And I'm just like, this is weird. This is really weird. So I'm walking down the hallway, and at one point, I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to find out when it happens when I get to the end of the hallway. I don't know why my throat's getting tighter. I told my mom, I'm like, my throat feels tighter the further I walk down here. So I'm done. So we walk back, and that immediately goes away the further I get into the lobby. And my mom's like, I'm going to go find out what happened here. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. And so she walks up to the front desk person working there, who was Brandon Alvis at the time. And she's like, what happened down that hallway? And he said, well, 5 years earlier on the floor above, the previous groundskeeper had hung himself.
Mm. Okay. See, when you say things like that, you told me a few stories yesterday when we were talking. I think you do have the clairsentience ability. You just didn't know it. Because when you were saying that, Patty actually last week, and I've seen her actually go through this. She, I forget what it's called, but she has the ability where she tastes, like if somebody poisoned themselves or something happened or she can taste blood. She has that. Mm-hmm. I've seen that happen, not on camera, like when we're just out somewhere. So the more you tell me stories like that and things that happen to you, like, I think you have that, the clairsentient ability. You're able to feel what people went through.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, it's not funny, but it was just like, I was just trying to look at movie posters. I wasn't even investigating. I was just, you know, the investigations had started yet. I had just gotten into the hotel. So I was just trying to, you know, live my life and just be slightly normal at a paranormal event for once. And yeah, it was different. That was the first time that had happened to me. That kind of happened to me one other time since, again, with another hanging. I don't know what that's about. But I can definitely say if I had to choose between the feeling that or the taste, I would definitely choose feeling that because I would not want to taste whatever happened to people.
Yeah, you don't want to taste poison or blood or whatever.
No, that's really kind of gross.
And let's go back a little bit more. Actually, you were talking earlier. You said you kind of mentioned it in your mm-hmm. haunted house you grew up in. I mean, was that the only time you saw the spirit, I guess we'll call it, or whatever it was?
So he pretty much stayed within the bounds of the property. I saw him. So it started off in my parents' bedroom. I was just, you know, hanging out, and I just felt like the ceiling and the walls were covered with eyes. It felt like there was no place I could go without being watched in that room. So it progresses. I go into my parents' bedroom one day, and I can see, not like I'm seeing a normal person, but it was like a Polaroid picture in my head.
Yeah.
Of a boy probably between 19 and 23, shaggy brown hair, white skin, white t-shirt, blue jeans. And I was like, I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, there's a man in your closet. Like, I think we have a ghost. And she's never, ever wanted to say I'm wrong. She didn't not believe me. We just lived in the house so long, she didn't know what to say. We had been in the paranormal for about a year at this point. My dad had already written the book for Peter James. We would think that would lend him to being more open-minded on the subject. He said, no, you're just imagining it. Our house is not haunted. And fast forward, probably a couple weeks, maybe a month, I'm not really sure, but my mom's putting makeup on in her vanity area, which is where the closet was, and she heard three knocks from the inside of her closet door, and she's like, okay, our house is haunted. So she grabs a recorder and she turns it on, and you hear a voice say, I'll help you put these lights up. And to most people, that wouldn't make sense. But if you knew our house and you knew us, there was a chandelier my mom had sitting on a chair for probably like 2-3 years that she didn't know how to put up. And you'd think, that's really nice of that ghost, but he was super creepy, so not really. But it progressed from there. I would see him all the time. And he would watch me no matter what I did. And my mom felt like that maybe affected her in some way because she was feeling like she was being watched. The ghost was focused, like I said, solely on women. So my dad didn't have any experiences. My dog actually could see the spirit as well. She would go stand in the hallway and violently bark into my parents' bedroom. And you just knew he was there. My mom would walk in and out of cold spots. But as I mentioned earlier, it came to the point where he had just gotten too close for comfort for my parents and I when he had climbed my loft bed ladder. I had a couch bed in my room. I had a loft bed. And I was young, so I was like, couch bed, that's fine. I'll sleep on that. And when it came time for that to be changed back into a couch, I went to my loft bed, and it was abnormally high. I don't even know why the loft bed was that high. And I would see him standing in the doorway, and I could see him looking for me, and I knew I was finally safe. He couldn't find me up there. And one night I'm going to bed, and I feel him watching me on my loft bed, and I was like, he found me. And I didn't tell anyone, and probably a week or two later, I'm not really sure, again, the time frame during that, I don't even know how I fell asleep that night. I went to tell my mom. We had some psychics over to our house who were our friends, and they were filming a radio show at the time while they were trying to see what they picked up. And I'm like, Mom, I have to tell you something. And she said, we have company over, just tell me later. So I told my mom's friend, who was not a psychic, she was just a regular person, I'm like, I have to tell you, this, the ghost climbed my loft bed ladder. So only me, my mom's friend, knew at this point. My mom's friend said, you have to hear what Sophia told me. So now only me, my mom's friend, and my mom knew. The psychic walks past my bedroom and goes, there's a man on that loft bed ladder. And that's what my mom knew. She said, no, this is it. You're sleeping in our room. There's no way we're doing this anymore. And then the psychic walks into their bedroom, points right next to where my mom was sleeping, and goes, and he stands here. And that's when my mom knew that it wasn't in her head. He was literally watching her sleep. He was watching me sleep. And my dad had nothing. He just, because he was a man, and this ghost was only focused on women.
Yeah.
So one night, we're just like, you know, go sleep on the loft bed ladder. We said that to my dad. He's an 80s drummer, so he has the long hair. So from behind, I guess he could kind of pass as a woman. So he's laying there in my loft bed with his back turned towards the ladder, and he feels something watching him. So he throws his arm over the bed, and he said he felt like he stuck it in a bucket of ice water. So he started yelling at him. By the way, I should mention, I actually had diamond doves in my bedroom, and any time the ghost would be in my bedroom, they would start bouncing off the sides of the cages. So not only is he feeling like he's being watched, you can hear the doves freaking out.
Yeah.
And so he threw his arm over the loft bed ladder. He said he felt like he stuck in a bucket of ice water. I'm in my parents' bedroom. My mom's holding me. And she said she felt something come up through the mattress and actually kind of enter her body, not her head, but every time she would walk into where the spirit was standing, she said it felt like her arm fell asleep. It was like a buzzing, and that's how her whole body felt. So if you actually think about it, if the ghost did come into her, there would have been a point in time where the spirit was actually holding me through her.
Yeah, it's a kind of like possession, it sounds like.
Yeah, except it never entered her head, so it was still her clearly thinking, but it was creepy. And you know, when you have the animals dealing with this, freaking out just at the sight of him, my mom walking in and out of cold spots, me being able to see him, and in the night that the psychics were over, like I said, they were filming their experiences there. The audio tech was a skeptic, and he walked in the house to go check the feed, the surge protector, no one had been in the house. All the plugs had been unplugged, and he was so freaked out by that experience, he stopped talking to the friend that brought him. And that night was the only night I had ever seen the spirit outside of my house. He was in a shadow form that time, and he was leaning against our brick wall, just watching us very smugly.
See, I was gonna say, I'm getting chills. I mean, I've got the AC on here in the studio, but even with that, I'm just getting chills hearing that, especially as a parent and thinking that, you know, our daughter's being watched by whatever this is, and you can't really do anything about it. It's one thing if it's an actual human coming in. Okay, you know, dad comes in, the parents come in, you protect them. But when you can't see what it is, you can't touch it, you can't do anything, that's when, as a parent, trust me, you feel really, really, really helpless when that happens. So, yeah, I feel your parents' pain on that story.
It was hard. And I think I had experiences, too, from a time I can't even remember. My mom said before I could talk or anything, I could walk at this point, I would go stand with my back against the garage door, the door into our garage, and I would just stand there frozen. I wouldn't move. She would call me, nothing. She would actually have to touch my hand to get me to move. I would just stand there frozen. And I don't remember this, but I mean, kids don't do that. And it was in the same spot every time.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, I loved the movie Charlie's Angels when I was little, specifically Drew Barrymore. I was just obsessed with that movie. So my dad got me an autograph from Drew Barrymore, and they put it in my room. And now, mind you, I'm obsessed with that movie. I loved her. You would think that would be the greatest thing that happened to me. Well, I start saying, Drew Barrymore's watching me. The picture's watching me. We have to take it down. Drew Barrymore's watching me. And my parents are like, why do you hate Drew Barrymore? I'm like, it's watching me. And when you look back, the picture wasn't watching me, but my brain was associating the face with what I was actually feeling through the spirit. The spirit was watching me, but in my head, I was associating that with the photo.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you some things when we're done. I won't mention them here on the air. That mm-hmm. It's a good thing you don't live there anymore. I'm going to tell you a couple of things that may have actually made it a little bit more dangerous than you actually thought it was. But again, well, I'll talk to you about it when we finish the interview here. So to wrap it up, you have the radio show coming. We've got the 4th of July this weekend, and like you mentioned, there's some holidays coming up. But when you get back to regular schedule, tease some of the guests that are coming up later on this year.
Well, we're going to have some great upcoming Travel Channel guests, which are to be announced and booked. We have Kristen Lumen from Ghost Hunters coming on. We have Erica Marcia Busharni. She is a very amazing psychic medium. She will be on in the future. We're going to have, you know, some more great psychics on. Patty Negri will be on and coming up soon. And so we'll be booking more people, but look out for some cool Travel Channel guests, some amazing psychics, and Kristen Lumen from Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, so, and again, I have the link to everything on the show description. You guys click on Sophia's name, it'll take you there. The one final thing is I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, I'm just not to put you on the spot, but let me just ask you this. Today, you know, for you 10 years later, and when I was younger, there wasn't a lot of, I'll use the word acceptance of the paranormal. Now there is, because of all the TV shows. Everybody seems to have a paranormal podcast. There's a lot of paranormal YouTube channels showing up. So there's a lot more acceptance and people talking about it. For someone hearing you right now, hearing about your story, and you've been doing this for 10 years now and everything that comes with it, and they're thinking, you know what? I want to do a YouTube channel or a podcast or my own paranormal thing. What advice would you give them to get it started?
To get it started, I would definitely say do your research, which I know is so basic, but one thing I always tell people, even on my show, I talk about it, is yes, there are dangers with spirits. Like I said, they're bad spirits. They can punch, slap, burn you, scratch you. Mm-hmm. There's so many dangers with that. But people always focus on that and overlook the actual physical dangers. So when you're going into these buildings, if they're abandoned, you can have so many dangers you don't even think about. If you're going out into a field, I mean, there's lions, bobcats. I mean, do your research on the location, because even if it's not just for history's sake, you need to make sure that you're not putting yourself in any real life, real world danger that's going to put you in a hospital for something that you never even considered or thought of.
Yeah, it's not always the dead or the other side that hurts you. Like I was telling the story, we shot in Arizona not too long ago, and we got some good footage, but I was looking at the ground for scorpions, for rattlesnakes, and then especially when the caretakers, they told us this was rattlesnake season. Like, okay, I don't know if I heard of one, but I thought maybe it was just in my brain. I thought I heard a rattle, but I didn't see anything. But go ahead.
Like I was saying earlier, the stories that stick out two in my head when you bring up guests are both stories of an almost injury or an injury. One was Keith Age. He was doing a tour, thought he had stepped on a cable. He ignored it, looked back at the footage. It wasn't a cable. It was bobcat tail. So he's lucky he didn't get bitten. The other one is I had an investigative couple on the show. The female went to go sit down on a bench. She accidentally sat down on a rusted needle, which went into her, you know, cheek. Yeah. And that had to be pulled out and, you know, tetanus shot. So sometimes inanimate objects or animal tails can be much more dangerous than anything you can encounter on the other side.
Yeah, and, you know, again, like you said, going to an abandoned building, they've been abandoned for, like, mm-hmm. sometimes decades. So the floor, asbestos. Yeah, the floor is weak, and you may be walking in the middle, and you think you hear something. Yeah, it's the floor creaking, and you go right through it. And
yeah,
you really be hurt then. So yeah, it's those things. Those are things that you really gotta be careful of. But yeah, good advice for that. So again, your show liveparanormal.com. I have a link to that in the show description. Sophia, thanks a lot for coming on and giving us a little bit of your story. Looking forward to more of your shows. And I have a feeling this isn't the last time we'll hear you on Paranormal Perception. So thanks again for coming on.
Absolutely, thank you so much for having me on.
And that was Paranormal Perception. The facts and opinions heard on this episode are those of the guest and host of Paranormal Perception. If they make you uncomfortable or cause you to question your outlook on life, good, you're waking up. Continue that journey on the show's official website, paranormalperception.show. Contact Henry with questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, henry@paranormalperception.show. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.